Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good afternoon. Gary Wellings is not here today. He's out on assignment. This is Pastor Rick Dietering. I'm joined by my good friend, Phil Stargell. Hey, Phil, did you hear in that opening dialogue there, bumping in, that it's intelligent conversation?
Yes.
I think they're overselling it. Matt Clark is out of the building. We made sure security had him hogtied and bound and out so we could take over the microphone. And Derek is over there cheering for it. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to. If you could just see him, he's just busting up laughing because, well, you have to just picture Matt Clark being like tied up, bound up, and carried out by Drake. So hey, we're here. We're having a good time today. I should tell you this: Valentine's Day is coming up. It comes every February, February 14th. I think that this is a holiday that was initially started by communists, or at least men hater. You know, someone who hated men came up with this whole concept of Valentine's Day. And so Valentine's Day is coming up just February 14th, same time every month, how that goes. And so men have got to go and think of something to do for their wives, otherwise they will not have a peaceful year. And so if you're looking for something to do with your wife, think about Burroughs Roadhouse, which is in Brighton. It's at, look for the address here. Well, it's in Brighton. Here's a phone number, 810-227-6000. And they're having Valentine's Day dinner shows on the 10th and 11th, which is around Valentine's Day. So you can take her a few days early, and it'll be a surprise. Mm. And that's a comedy show and a good meal at Burroughs Roadhouse, which is at 5311 Brighton Road. And you can call and set reservations at 810-227-6000. Again, that's Burroughs Roadhouse this Valentine's Day. If you don't take your wife there, you better spend a fortune on a fur coat. Burroughs will be cheaper. So, so with that done, how are you doing, Phil?
I'm doing terrific, and I'm just enjoying the fresh air and the scenery of a free republic.
First day, America is great again.
Yes.
What a guy takes just a simple
oath,
it's already great again.
Yeah.
So you asked me a question coming into this show on whether we should do something or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that question?
The question is,
say it with a straight face.
Okay. Mm. Should we give Obama a warm send-off and not do anything after today?
No more Obama bashing.
No more. I don't call it bashing. I call it truth-telling.
Okay. No more Obama truth-telling. And what was my response to your question?
Hell no.
No, of course not. Yes. We've been doing it for 8 years.
Yes.
You can't change habits in
eight years.
Yeah. But you know what will happen? As more and more of Obama is undone, we'll have less and less to talk about.
Yeah.
So eventually, when there's no sign left of Obama, then we'll have to talk about how great this country actually is.
Because I get a monthly reminder of how bad some of the policies was with Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And because when Obama signed the bill to put it into law, my insurance was about $211 per month. It is currently $770-some.
Yeah. Well, you could go and Matt Clark went a long way to talk about the health care and insurance and everything else. You know, he said something that I found very profound, and when you think of it this way, it makes just total sense. When he came up, what is a right?
Yes.
If it costs money, it's not a right.
Yeah.
You have a right to believe. You have a right to pursue happiness. You have a right to defend yourself. You have these are rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to buy it, it's not a right. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege, and we just have to be honest about that, because here we have the socialists that are just freaking out right now because, well, the nation stopped going in that direction. At least it appears to be stopped going in that direction. Yeah. And they're terrified. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about today. And is the fact that the left wing is frightened, at least those that followed and supported the left wing, the liberals out in the country. They are truly frightened about where the nation is going. They're afraid it's not going to continue on that socialist path that they have set up for the last 8 years. They don't see the country going in a direction that they want it to go into, but they also have a lot of unfair, unfounded fears. And I'll say the other one is, yeah, I hope they're right. This country stopped going into the socialist direction. Mm-hmm. But they have some fears that are not real fears. And a lot of that is I hear this a lot from young black men mostly, is what does it mean make America great again? Does that mean make it white again, make it a slave nation again, make it, you know? And they forget something. And you pointed this out to me, and I'll let you make the same point to the listeners on why this is not a true statement.
Yes. They call Trump a racist because of past experiences. But it was not Republicans, and it certainly wasn't Trump, that did the racist stuff. The Republicans were never the racist.
Nope.
But they assigned that race and that race baiting and that hate to Republicans, and it is as wrong as two left shoes.
If you were to sit here and pick a party that you could take as racist, I would say you would pick the ones that had the members like George Wallace.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What about Arkansas? Faubus. Mm-hmm. What about
Byrd?
Byrd, yeah, a sitting member of the Senate that was a Klansman. And we can go a little bit further back. There was association with the Klans with Harry Truman.
Right. Take a look at what party fought the hardest to actually free the slaves.
There is absolutely no comparison. It was the Republican Party that freed the slaves. And you've got people that actually believe it was the Democrat Party that actually freed the slaves. It is unbelievable. That's why we need to do something with that school system, because they've let us down on.
You know, that's something Trump said in his inauguration, is that we have schools that are flush with cash, mm-hmm. and yet we have students that are not garnering any knowledge.
Yeah, they can't read their diploma. And that's a bad situation, and it happens way more than it should.
You find that the public schools are going more and more and just indoctrinating little socialists rather than teaching them what real math is. You know, instead of teaching 2 + 2 = 4, they teach you how to be a good socialist anymore in the public schools, mm-hmm. which is why if you're going to find a young person that is conservative, I will bet almost 90% of the time, that young conservative will have been homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I have 6 children, and all but one are liberal. And that one is the youngest, and we homeschooled her.
Well, so, case in point. Now, in all fairness, you love all your kids.
Oh, love them, very.
But, yeah. You got some that are just mistaken on their political identity.
Yeah. And, you know, you can see it. I mean, if you have – well, look, just this week we heard that there were some school districts that were telling their children, their charges, that they should not be watching the inaugural celebration on their own TV. I mean, that's pretty wild. And some of them did, you know, boycott the proceedings.
You know, the last 2 inaugurations before – this one, 2008 and 2012, where my wife works at the University of Michigan, every monitor, every screen was blasting the inauguration of President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, there are a little group down there watching in the back corner on a small TV, watching the inauguration. Mm-hmm. My wife was trying to get it up on her computer, but for some reason she couldn't get it up on her computer.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy.
Yes.
She couldn't get
it.
But not every TV and not every monitor and everything else was playing the inauguration. That's just, I guess, the typical University of Michigan. I think we threw Matt Clark out a little bit too soon because I wanted to get a chance to ask him about when he was going there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could have told me it was the same liberal bastion as it is today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But matter of fact, we've had that conversation. He was one of the few conservatives, so to speak, in this great big bastion of liberalism. But my wife couldn't even watch that. So here we are. Now to lead into the conversation, and before we do that... We have Mike who wants to talk about American education.
Mm-hmm.
So we will open up that avenue of talk, and then we will go into where I wanted to on this show. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm on my way to work. Hey, look, I just wanted to say about the education. John Dewey said way back when that his idea of education was he didn't care if little Johnny could read when he got out of school. He just cared that he didn't believe in God. That was a direct quote from him.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, you know what?
That's where the system is.
Yes.
I'm 67, so I thank God went to school and we still got to hear real American history. We got to sing real Christmas carols and the Glee Club. And patriotic songs and Pledge of Allegiance, thank God for that era. My children were homeschooled, so they got that anyway. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. You know, I'm a little younger than Mike, and yet I remember I went to elementary school. Before my dad moved to Canada, I went to elementary school up in Gaylord, Michigan. At the private school, or it was a public school. It wasn't a private school, public school. My sisters and brothers all went to the Catholic school, but I went to the public school, and in kindergarten, I remember our teacher having us say a prayer before school, and we would sing the national anthem and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we would sing, America the Beautiful also, but there was always a prayer. And the prayer was always in the name of Jesus. This was in public school. Now, this was at a time where government was still trying to enforce or figure out how to enforce the no prayer in school, because that had just gone through. And we went from there to a very godless educational system. And I think if we can get in, now we got DeVos, hopefully she's going to be in charge of the Federal Board of Education until there is not one.
Yeah, and that I would hope is the goal.
That'd be great if it was a goal.
Yeah.
But what I would like to see first come out of this is this whole thing of the voucher system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to send your kids to a school where, yes, God can be professed, you can take that voucher and get your kids into that school.
Yeah.
If you want to send your kids to a charter school, you can send them to a charter school. You take that voucher, this is the money that would be spent on the education no matter where Junior went, but give you a choice on where you want Junior to go and learn. And do you want them to go into a liberal camp and learn how to be little liberal socialists, or do you want them to go in and have a classical education, so to speak? So right now we are facing...
One of the things that seemed to be so prevalent is the schools right here in Detroit. We've had scandal after scandal. We've had... bailout after bailout, and still they want the government to ensure that those schools continue with your kids and giving them declining academic standards. I mean, it's never going up, it seems. It's always getting worse.
Well, remember what Hitler said. He says, I don't need you to agree with me. We've got your children, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it's turned into, the education system, so we can win that way. All right, I have been faced with this statement a lot by liberals lately, some members of my own congregation who are liberal in the way they vote, or progressive. I don't want to say liberal. They're progressive in the way they vote. And they talk to me, and they say they are frightened.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid. And my question isn't so much – directed at them at this point. This question is for the listeners. You run across these liberals, they say they're afraid. What do you do? Do you just sit there and say, good? That's the way we've been for the last 8 years? Afraid of where our nation's going? Because that's where we were, at least I was, for the last 8 years. I was terrified up to the last day of what Obama would do to this nation.
Yes.
And he proved time and time again that we had some stuff to fear. Yeah. You know, you have nothing to fear but fear itself or President Obama.
Yes.
But so we as conservatives know what that fear is for our nation. They now have a fear for our nation. What do we as conservatives, how do we handle their fear? Phone number is 734-822-1600. I would like your opinion as the listeners of how you would deal with their fear. Do you just say, like I said, good, welcome, this is how we felt for 8 years? Do you gloat? Do you sit there and do a dance? Do you do a jig? Do you talk to them? What do you do? And I'll put it to you, Phil. How do you deal with it?
Sounds good to me. Let's have a gloat problem. I mean, a gloat party. Yeah, sounds like a winner. No, I believe that we have to continue to show that the direction that is being taken now is the correct direction, and we have got to keep things going. Like the 12th, they had a little party to watch the inauguration ceremonies, but they have got to continue to bring more people in and educate more people. And so we don't get to the point where they can sidetrack or derail the progress that'll be shown daily from now on. There's going to be daily progress made because of the policies that he's going to take. Not because of magic, not because of Trump himself, but because of the policies. They're correct for this system.
So your answer really is then to the liberal that comes up and says, I'm afraid, is wait and see.
Yeah, but see as we go along. And
all right.
And
I say wait and see, and you say see as we go along.
See as we move along.
Right.
And if there are people that object, or if there are people that don't seem to be sure of the steps that they're taking, we've got to make sure that we reinforce their will and their objective to get to that objective. Okay.
We got a caller on the line, Jimmy, who says the answer to dealing with scared liberals is to fend them off. So, Jimmy, what you want to talk about fending off liberals?
Oh, not fending them off. What I said was encourage the liberals that are afraid of Trump to go out and buy guns. To defend themselves against this tyrant.
Ah, okay.
And if you look, I have read several articles where they are actually doing just that. They have opened gun clubs. They have started buying guns in record numbers more than ever before.
I welcome that.
Yeah.
And these are liberal people that never owned guns before. I have liberal friends that have called and asked me to help them buy guns.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm like, I never believed it before, but maybe I do need to buy a gun to protect myself from Donald Trump. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really care if you want to protect yourself, you know. Because if Donald Trump goes crazy and becomes Adolf Hitler, he's going to come through me to do that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know? He's got to come through the people that voted for him because, again, most of them have the same attitude that I have, eternal vigilance.
So what you're saying, Jimmy, is that Trump getting elected is actually helping the Second Amendment and the liberals get jumping on board.
And I welcome it.
All right. We got online, too. Steve, what's your answer with dealing with these liberals that are frightened?
Well, I just tell them to calm down. When you look at your own daily life under Bush, under Clinton, under Bush again, under Obama, was it really that different? I mean, you know, Obama ran up the price of ammunition. He started his own wars and stuff. But in your daily life, did things get so much better under Obama?
No, they got worse for me.
Well, they get a little worse, but pretty much there's a lot of consistency in people's everyday life from one president to the next. So this hysteria is just ridiculous. I tell people to grow up and calm down.
Okay. Colin's answer is to tell him to calm down. There's nothing to fear, be afraid of. No difference. Okay, let's see what Colin, on line three, what's your answer on dealing with the fear of the liberals?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with Jimmy, the previous caller. I think the left needs to calm down a little bit. And I think the most cogent and sober thing that I heard was on the Glenn Beck show a couple of weeks ago, where he said, "Well, how do you deal with these people who are just terrified?" And instead of gloating and saying, "Good, I'm glad you're terrified," I believe just show some compassion.
Well,
hey, you know what? I know how you feel.
Thanks for setting Phil straight.
You know, I mean, it's the right and compassionate thing to do is to say, "Yeah, you know, I mean, I know how you feel. I felt this way for a long time, and, you know, let's just wait and see. Let's not panic.
Right.
See how things are going to go. And if it doesn't go your way, then, you know, don't take to the streets and riot and burn things and destroy property. Lobby your your representatives and you know, get involved. But don't panic. Just ask them to not panic, and then for us, don't gloat. Don't rub it in. We don't need to be abrasive and you know, awful the way they've been to us. I think we should take the high road and show some compassion.
Colin, I'm more along your camp on this one. Maybe I'll go further. Maybe just as far. Here's where I'm at on it. I know what it is to be frightened for your nation. Mm-hmm. As I said going into this question, I've been frightened for this nation for the last 8 years. And we need to be a little bit of empathetic, if not sympathetic, with them. Granted, they might want the nation to go in a different direction, but they do have a love for their nation. It just, they want to take it somewhere where I don't want it to go. But there is a love for their nation there. And I see this as an opportunity. Instead of just causing a bigger division between us, we can use this as an opportunity to narrow the gap of division and start bringing us together by allowing conversation to happen between us.
Well, that's
use this moment for conversation. Use this moment to educate and maybe even move along the conservative cause through conversation.
But that's what the Tea Party experience is about. They grouped up together and they reinforced their belief in the institutions that work for us. The Constitution, they rallied around that Constitution. That's what the Tea Party is about.
So I think we can actually take that model from the Tea Party then, if you so speak, or what Colin is saying, mm-hmm. at least what I'm hearing him say, mm-hmm. is that we use this as a chance to open up dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we've been painted with such a broad negative brush by the media. Here's an opportunity for us to show our true colors and, you know, show some love and compassion and just say, hey, look, you know, we know how you feel. Maybe there's a whole lot more common ground that we have together than you've been led to believe.
Just to give you an example of this, I sat down with a young man the other night. He was a school teacher up in Detroit. And he just sat there and says, I am absolutely terrified. I don't know what to do. And I said, what are you terrified about? And he came back with this back. What does it mean make America great? Does that mean make America white again? Does that mean, you know, and I had to calm all that down. I says, no, it doesn't mean any of that. What it does mean is we want to move as conservatives to a place where there's less government interfering with our lives, giving everyone equal chances, but less government. Now he's a big government kind of guy, mm-hmm. but then he says, well, why do you want a smaller government? And I was able to go in and have that. We had a wonderful conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, when we walked away, I'm not sure that, well, he didn't change my mind on anything. I'm not sure I changed his. But at least we had an understanding where we were each coming from.
And that kind of understanding can be achieved by things like guns, like...
We're going into a hard break. Thanks a lot, Colin. Coming up next, put your seatbelts on. Walter is on the phone with us, and he's going to tell us how he would deal with the liberals.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Veyrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Protests around the world marking President Trump's first full day in office at the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
There are more than, it seems, about 500,000 women, grandmothers, mothers, daughters, fathers with girls on their shoulders who have taken to the streets.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin, one speaker, actress Scarlett Johansson asking the new president to support all women.
Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards.
The president now meeting with intelligence leaders at the CIA in Langley, Virginia, and former President George H.W. Bush and his wife said to be recovering at a hospital in Houston.
His spokesperson says they are not out of the woods just yet. The medical team feels they're, quote, at the edge of the forest.
Fox's Casey Stegall, Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Don Farm Education Series is a free annual series providing practical information about chemical dependency, recovery, family concerns, and related issues. This unique program, now entering its 26th year, is designed to reduce the misinformation, secrecy, shame, and stigma that prevent people with addictions and their families from getting help and getting well, and to help create a community culture that supports recovery. Alcohol and other drug addiction touches virtually everyone in some way, yet when addiction hits home, people often feel isolated, frightened, confused, hopeless, and unsure of where to turn for help. The education series will help people with substance addiction attain long-term recovery and how family, friends, and others can support recovery and restore well-being to their own lives. This year's series includes new programs as well as previous favorites. The series is designed to have broad appeal for diverse audiences. People in recovery, people interested in recovery, family members, friends, students, professionals, and anyone interested in any topic are all welcome. The series is organized by Dawn Farm, a nonprofit organization founded in 1973 that provides a continuum of quality services for people with alcohol and other drug problems. This year's series will kick off September 20th, 2016 and continue through May 2017. Most presentations take place at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. For more information about Dawn Farm programs, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And Gary Wellings is out on assignment today. I am Pastor Rick Dietering, filling in with my partner in crime, Phil Stargell. How are you doing this afternoon, Phil?
We are We are coming to the home stretch.
We, who are you talking? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Yep.
Hey, got to take care of a little business here. The competent, caring staff of Regency at Whitmore Lake is focused on providing quality, compassionate health care services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a comfortable, friendly environment. Their services include, but are not limited to, 24-hour nursing care, subacute rehabilitation, long-term care, hospice and respite care, secured memory care unit, and life enhancement programming, buffet and restaurant-style dining. All right, I'm all ready to go. Anything with food, I'm there. Veterans, and they have a veterans program. They are located at 8633 Main Street, Whitmore Lake. Their phone number is 734-449-4431. They are a Siena Healthcare community. Again, that's Regency at Whitmore Lake. It looks like a beautiful thing. You know, if I only had a camera here, I'd show you a picture of it. It's quite a beautiful looking place. Uh-huh. We are sitting there and talking about the fact that almost half of our nation, or I'd say about half of our nation, is terrified right now of where our nation is going. They're liberal. They want to go in a liberal direction. They see the country taking a turn from that. We even heard a little bit of that in that news break we just had. Mm-hmm. So how do we, as conservatives, communicate to these liberals? Do we mock them? Do we laugh at them? Do we give them a hard time? Do we gloat? Do we use this as a teaching moment? Or do we use this in a way that we can show what true, and I'm going to use this word very carefully here, what true tolerance is? To me, tolerance is being able to be tolerant of the person and disagreeing with their views 100%, right?
Yeah.
And I think I should be able to disagree with their views 100%. The liberal would say if I don't accept their views, I'm wrong and I'm not tolerant.
And that's why there was such concern by you and me about how the direction of the country had turned under Obama.
We're asking the callers to come in and tell us on how you deal with the liberals as a conservative on this point. The number is 734-822-1600. And all right, Phil, put on your seatbelt. Walter is online, and he's going to tell us how he deals with the liberals. How you going? How you doing there, Walter?
Yeah, man, I usually cuss them out and repent tomorrow. You know?
Can I sit here and say that might not be the best route to take, but that's just my opinion.
Hey, Joel, you know, I used the word repentance, so I got to have a little fear of God. I mean, you know, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's get to the point. It's amazing to me how these phony liberals, I guess I'm getting started on the wrong foot already, huh? these phony liberals, and I do mean phony and contradictory, can talk about how they're going to hold Donald Trump to a high standard. We're going to hold his feet to the fire. That's all you hear coming from them clowns every day. We're going to do this. And I want to communicate with them is tell them, let me tell you something. You guys are 8 years late, and you're referring to the wrong person.
All right.
You were fearful. You should have been fearful for these last If you wasn't fearful for the last 8 years mm-hmm. under Barack Obama, mm-hmm. what makes you think life is going to be a lot worse with Donald Trump? And by the way, the liberals are good for calling good evil and evil good, and God Satan and Satan God.
Yep.
They have an ideology. We can try as much as possible, like Romans 12 says, as much as possible, live at peace with all people. As much you have all the strength you have in you as a Christian. But what Jesus was saying in so many words, some of these people, you ain't going to have no peace with them, no matter how nice you be to them, no matter how much knowledge you give them and wisdom and try to instruct them on how, where the Republicans stand versus the Democrats.
Walter,
and they still going to reject you.
I agree with you, Walter. Thanks. I agree with Walter on this, in this way, is that we may not convince them. But what I don't want to be is I do not want the conservatives to turn into what the liberals were for the last 8 years of saying, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong, and I'm not going to be tolerant of you at all because you disagree with me. I don't want to be that group of people. I want the conservatives to sit there and say, no, I believe in tolerance means I can be tolerant of you and disagree of your opinion no matter how wrong I think it is, no matter how stupid I think you are, I will fight for your right to have that stupid, idiotic opinion.
Yeah, The conservatives have always taken out their wrath on the people that are in their party. they have very little desire to go after the Democrats like they went after us. They call us racist. They call us all kind of names.
Walter, I want to thank you for your call, but we got a full board. I want to get to some more of these calls. Thanks for calling, Walter. It's always a good call. Jenny, on line three. How are you doing, Jenny?
Hey, gentlemen.
How are you doing, huh?
How's both of you?
Good afternoon.
Good. On the basic political stuff, you can't even talk to these people, but there's one common ground that I have found that you can actually talk to some of these folks, and that is the stupid violence that's going on at the moment and has gone on in Ferguson and stuff. They're destroying a property for nothing.
Mm. Right.
And, you know, even some of my liberal friends, they can agree that that is ridiculous.
Yeah. And so that's one way to find out what areas in common you have. So there's another approach. Mine is to educate them on what I feel they're getting wrong. You're saying, hey, let's talk about what we have in common, and maybe we can build it on a relationship from there on. Mm-hmm.
Right, because you can't educate them about, it's just like, I wouldn't want them to try to change me, so I'm not going to try to, you can't change them. Most of my friends are too old, you know, we're set.
What are you saying about me, Jenny? Hey, thanks a lot for your call, Jenny, appreciate it.
Yep.
Line two, Paul, you want to talk about liberals and guns, and I hope it's in a good sense. Watch where you aim that finger, it's got a nail in it.
I do.
Okay. Liberals and guns, what you got, Paul?
Hi, Pastor Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great. Yeah, I had a couple things to say. First of all, you got a great show. I consider myself a FOT, friend of Theron.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first call to any radio show ever.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Ever. So be gentle with me, okay?
Okay.
So here's the thing.
Quick, hang up on him. No.
We all have the same experience, and I think some of the other callers have been right on the money. We can't become what they are. We have to be compassionate. You have to have understanding, and you have to take the time to talk to people who really want to have a conversation. If people want to preach to you, no disrespect, then that's a different story. But I tell all my liberal acquaintances and friends that are now talking about purchasing firearms, I said, you got to understand something. This is a responsibility. The same thing I told my children as they were growing up and now they're adults, that this is a tool, this is a thing, but you're responsible for it.
Yep.
And you have to learn about what you're getting into. This is not a toy. This is not something that you approach casually.
Good lesson to learn.
Emphatically.
All right, thanks. Hey, Paul, you did great on your first call. Now don't be a stranger. Call back often.
Well, I'm a big email kind of electronic person. But anyway, I'm enjoying the show. Please keep on keeping on. And thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, thank you. All right,
bye-bye.
We now have Bob. Wants to, oh, no, no. First of all, Bob spells his name backwards. Second of all, he wants to talk about Valentine's Day. I thought I was through that with that ad. Valentine's Day was created by evil people that hate men. But Bob, I will give you 2 seconds to prove me wrong, and then I'll tell you how wrong you are. Unless you agree with me, then you're 100% right. How's it going, Bob?
Hello. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, a long time ago, the Catholic Church was deciding what young men could or couldn't get married. And one day, this monk, St. Valentinus, decided, screw the church, I'm going to marry anybody who wants to get married. He was later executed, and that's the basis of Valentine's Day.
Oh, so instead of sending flowers and candy, we should kill someone. Got it. I like it better.
I think he spelled his name backwards too, didn't he?
No. No, I'm one of these. I'm one of these people that if you ask my wife, she'll tell you, "Oh, my husband loves Valentine's Day. He always does great things. Why? Because My wife scares me. And so I make sure I do something nice. But I'm telling you, Valentine's Day has turned into a Hallmark holiday. It's designed to destroy men. It is. That's just my point of view. And if you don't like it, well.
I think before they destroy them, they get them trained. You ever see a guy at the shopping with the wife? You know, he's sitting over in the corner letting her. So that's the forerunner right there, St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You know, there used to be a thing in sports called a loser's limp. Uh-huh. And Derek Stone might know what I'm talking about. You know, if they make a play and it didn't look right, all of a sudden he gets up for no reason. He's limping off the field. It's called a loser's limp, right?
Yep.
It does something. I develop a loser's limp the second my wife says, let's go shopping. Oh, my leg. I can't go. I'm crippled. I twisted my leg in that last tackle. What tackle? Yep. You're sitting there watching football. Yeah, but I still twisted it.
Yep.
I can't go shopping. Oh, I hate shopping.
Oh, man.
Hey, we got 15 minutes left. If you want to get in on the phone calls, what do you do to help the liberals get over their fear? Do you help them get over their fear? Or do you mock them and point at them and laugh at them for being frightened? Or do you take a more compassionate view, use it as a point of education? Or do you find, as Jenny said, find something in common in which that you can build on?
What was that you said about compassion? You know, when George Bush said... he was a compassionate conservative.
I think being conservative absolute default is compassionate. And to put George Bush's compromise on being compassionate is wrong. Because what George Bush had in mind in compassion was become more socialist in your views as a republic. Yes. And I will disagree with George Bush on his compassionate conservatism all day long.
Because conservatism, as you said, is the compassion.
It is compassion, and again, in my view of how we deal with half the nation that is now terrified, we don't sit there and just shut them out like we have been for the last eight years.
Oh,
Take a look. We as conservatives have been shut out by the media.
Yep.
We've been shut out by the political system. Yep. We've been shut out completely, and just in society itself.
Yeah.
You talk to people, and they find out you're conservative. They get mad at you. I was sitting outside back when I had a convertible at the time, and I was listening to a conservative radio station, and this little old lady walks up to me. I mean, she looks sweet as could be. And she walks up to me, and she looks right at me, and she wrinkles up her nose, and she says, "You're not one of those conservatives, are you?"
Wow.
And I, without missing a beat, said, "Can you really save 15% or more with Geico?" And she just, you know, went stomping off as fast as she could with her walker with little tennis balls at the end of it. But yeah, you just get the hostility of society around you as a conservative. And this is how we as conservatives were treated for the last 8 years.
It's not very good feeling because we've got great ideas.
Right.
And the media didn't want to hear them. The Obama administration didn't want to hear them. But now what is it? Now that he's in power, what are they saying? Well, give us your ideas. Tell us what you're going to do. You know,
we've been giving ideas for health care for the last 8 years.
They wouldn't listen. And so, then turn around and said that they didn't listen because we didn't have a plan.
Now, human nature would sit there and say, well, do to them like they did to us. That would be typical human nature. You did that for the last 8 years. Now it's our turn.
Yeah.
But doesn't that – look at the division that's happened in this nation. How many times have you called President Obama the divider-in-chief?
Many times.
I don't think you could count how many times you refer to him as the divider-in-chief. And the fact is under his administration, we have become so polarized as a people. We haven't been this polarized since the 1860s during the time just before the Civil War.
And if you remember, the big word out of Obama's mouth on any of the deals was, you guys got to compromise. It was always the left said that the right has to compromise.
And it's always amazing what they mean by compromise. I think we should have bought them a dictionary so they could look up a dictionary and see what that word compromise actually means.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean do things our ways or get out of the way, which is pretty much what Obama said when he says elections have consequences.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly right.
He let us know that compromising was done.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that the Republicans should, in office, not do what they were elected to do. I think the conservatives in there need to do exactly what they were elected for. Mm-hmm. But I think we as a people need to open up conversations and not polarize this nation any further. We should not be the party of division. Mm-hmm. In which case, we can open up and say, hey, you really want to know why it went the way it did? We're happy to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to yell at you for being an idiot by being a liberal because, well, you are, but that's okay. I will still talk to you, you know?
But you also got to remember, like the Black Caucus, they did not want to participate at all with George Bush or now Donald Trump. Now, this has gone back for years. This has happened for years. They did it with George H.W. Bush. They did it with Ronald Reagan. They did not participate. And they're telling our young people that they shouldn't participate with Republicans. And what is it doing? It's keeping them out of the market. It's doing the exact opposite of what they say they want.
On line one is Joanne. Joanne, what is your way of dealing with the liberals?
Hi, this is Joanne. Yes, thank you for a good show. I'm enjoying it. I just wanted to say a coworker of mine just said this to me yesterday, that they were scared, and they had voted for Trump. But they said they were more scared of, you know, Hillary having gotten in. So that's one idea. But mostly what I find with people is they are listening to the mainstream media, and I try to tell them, get on Twitter, go to other sites, you know, go even, have Donald Trump on Twitter as and all the, you know, deplorables that are on Twitter, and get another angle, because the news is totally, lying, slanted, and I really think causing these fears.
Okay. And so telling them at least try to get involved a little bit to see what's actually going on our side.
Yeah, listen to other sources rather than mainstream media, basically.
Yeah. You know, I have to sit there. You tell them to get on with Twitter. I still do not twit or tweet or whatever you call it. I don't I don't do that. It's just when it comes to electronics, well, I still etch little triangles into clay tablets. And
well, you know, talk to Gary when he comes back, because he promotes it a lot on the show. I actually found him through Twitter, but because I'm in New York, I'm on upstate New York, I wouldn't be listening to a Michigan station, you know,
wow,
if it weren't for that. So that's how much it introduces you to other, you know, areas and people. But he even says that he sees the things on there way before they're even announced on the mainstream media, and you don't get the slant.
Hey, Joanne, since you're calling from New York, you may not know this. Phil and I have a regular show on Sunday nights called Moment of Clarity at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, so that'll be the same time as New York.
And what's it called? I'm sorry.
Moment of Clarity?
Okay, so it's on Wham. That's what I'm listening
yep,
on.
Yep, it's Wham at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
I will look for it. Thank you.
All right. You have a blessed day, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm finding that a lot of the ideas are similar,
mm-hmm,
but with just enough differences that you can build on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting them more involved to get their sources from more than one source. You know, the last 8 years, I absolutely could not stand Rachel Maddow, and I have to watch how I say her name. I'll say that much. I have to watch how I say her name.
Yes, I know exactly.
Rachel Maddow. I'm not a big fan of Chris either. You know, him and his tingly legs. But I would every now and then have to just go see their perspective of the news,
mm-hmm,
and figure it out. So I think Joanne's got the right idea. Hey, don't isolate yourself to just one news source. If you're going to build your news source on just one view, it's very limited, because we don't have real journalists out there that actually dig in and get the story. Even Walter Cronkite stopped being Walter Cronkite after a while.
Yes, he did.
And he went from being a good journalist to, well, a talking head eventually. So you can't get your
view. He took sides.
Yeah.
He took sides.
He did. It started out he didn't, but then all of a sudden he was. So we don't find real strong journalism out there anymore. So you have got to go to a number of different sources and know somewhere in the middle you're going to come to the truth if you start going to enough sources.
There was a guy that used to say, check your premises, you know, and that is it. I mean, you have to check. If you say you believe something, then why would you continue doing the same thing when it's proven that it won't work?
Right.
And that's what's going on with the Democrat Party and so many people that are in it.
Here's something where I tell anyone, if someone asks why you believe that, ask yourself these questions. Before you sit there and say, I believe this, ask where you got the idea from.
Mm-hmm.
What support do you have behind that idea?
Mm-hmm.
And can you reasonably articulate your idea?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know where your idea came from, if you can't sit there and give support to your idea,
mm-hmm.
and you can't articulate your idea, what you're really doing is saying, "Is I believe in the bumper sticker, and that's all I need to do."
Yeah. And everybody wants to be, I've never been a follower. Everybody wants to be blaze their own path, at least. Even if they're not leading, they should blaze their own path.
You know, I've said this before. I don't look at politicians as being the savior of this world.
No.
In fact, I think the one thing I can say absolutely with surety that Trump got right in his inauguration, President Trump got in his inauguration, is this. God will save this country. All right.
Yeah.
So there's things on there that through the campaigns and stuff, I was a cruise man. I didn't agree with President Trump on.
And I was a Scott Walker fan.
And we still laugh at you for that. Yeah. So. but there comes a point now. We have him as president. Trump is our president now. We do also have to keep track. If he starts veering off his path, if he starts going in a direction that is opposite of what he said he was going to go, he's sworn in now.
Yeah.
So now he can't bounce back and forth on statements. You can't wonder where he's coming at on it. He's going to have to deliver what he said, or it's going to be your job and my job and radio's job to sit there and say, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. You want to go to the right.
Yeah.
You know?
And see, right now, it's on him. You know, before it was the country that was on the wrong track because Obama had done a number of things and made the government be more in charge of everything. So the whole government was on the wrong track. Right now, it's just Trump. If he takes the country into the direction where the government is taking us on the wrong path, we have got to let him know.
Another thing I need to say, one of the things that I'm glad he did. I mean, he had a busy first day.
Yes, he did.
He also put a freeze on all hiring. And he also put a freeze on any new bureaucratic regulations.
Yeah.
No more regulations. Yeah. Boom. They're done.
Yeah.
He put.
And if you got to get one, you got to drop two.
Yep. So he's gotten more done in the first day than Obama did in 8 years.
but that was by design. Yeah. It is the Democrat Party is the party of big government.
Well, as you reminded me, and you did so eloquently this morning, President Obama says, "Hey, don't judge me by my first 100 days.
Right.
You know, don't put that. We are already seeing that." He's sticking towards a middle American message, and he's still sticking to a smaller government.
Yes.
And so, hey,
and we
as
can,
long as he's
we can
on
live
that path,
very well with that formula.
I'm hearing some light music coming up in the background, so that either means that you're falling in love with me, so we better end the show, or that means that we're coming to the end of the show. You all have a blessed day, and this is Pastor Rick and Phil Stargell. Join us tomorrow night on Moment of Clarity at 6 o'clock.
Remember, there's always tomorrow.